By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Amen. How could they? What exactly happened? Would they have done anything differently if they had known? On this holy night, we are left to be curious about exactly what occurred between our Palm Sunday procession and this evening of the Last Supper. What happened between the crowds exclaiming the great Hosanna and then turning and shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him"? This question has kept me awake at night, feeling deep grief for both those who betrayed Jesus and for Jesus. What exactly happened? How could they? But of course, we ask this question because we know how this night ends. Those at the table with Jesus that night over 2,000 years ago, they do not yet know that this is their final meal with their teacher and Lord. How could they? Do you remember the last large family meal or community gathering you attended before the pandemic, before the shutdown, before quarantine began and changed our lives over a year ago? Can you recall the last time you had communion here in this beautiful church or in any church at a Eucharistic table with those you love? Do you recall the last time you drank from the common cup, fearless and satisfied? What grieves my heart right now on this night of the Last Supper is that none of us knew. None of us knew that it would be the last communion meal or the last community gathering for such a long and painful time. Would we have done anything differently if we had known? What happens after Jesus arrives in Jerusalem depends on the gospel book you are reading. If you are reading the book of John, not much detail is given, just a few paragraphs that really summarize the rest of the book of John about how Jesus is speaking for the Father and that those who believe in him will be saved. But Mark, even though it is the shortest book, devotes 4 whole chapters to the time between our Palm Sunday and this night of the Last Supper, or as we call it, Maundy Thursday. 4 whole chapters. In those 4 chapters, after Jesus is driven into Jerusalem, Jesus does all the things. He curses a fig tree. He turns over tables in the temple. He teaches his disciples to pray. He argues with the scribes and priests. He tells a few parables. He teaches that to love God and neighbor is the greatest commandment. He points to the poor widow and the small temple offering that she makes as the most sacrificial of giving. And he is anointed for burial by the woman with the alabaster jar. For Mark, who is typically so short and to the point, to spend 4 chapters on these days between the arrival in Jerusalem and the Last Supper tells us that this time for Jesus, the disciples, the crowds, for Rome and the religious leaders, and for us, is the paramount climax of the story. We can see that now, looking back from the vantage point of 2,000 years. We can read it and see clearly the importance of those days and the actions Jesus took and how it impacted him and his followers. But then, they didn't know. How could they? For them, in those days, they were simply going to the city for a festival like they did every year. For them, they were simply following their teacher like they had for so long. For them, they were watching it all play out before their eyes. And even though Jesus was clearly warning them, they did not yet know. When I think back over a year ago to the last time I presided at the Eucharistic table with a gathered crowd, I wonder how I might have presided differently if I had known that I would be kept from doing that with my community for over a year. I wonder how I might have engaged with my community differently if I had known at the last large meal I had with deeply loved friends that it would be over a year before I would be with them again with ease. How could we have known? Before the Last Supper, when Jesus is anointed by the nameless woman with the oil from the alabaster jar, a great conflict breaks out between the disciples. "Why," says Judas, "is this expensive oil being used on Jesus when it could have been sold and the money given to the poor?" A good question if one doesn't know the end of the story. Jesus says, "The poor will be with you always. I am with you only a little longer." Judas finds this reasoning by Jesus to be offensive. And now, not only are Rome and the Pharisee and the priests and the scribes against Jesus, now there is division within the disciples. Deep division, just as Jesus had said there would be. But how could they have known? Jesus says to his disciples as they sit together in the upper room for the Last Supper, he tells them, "You will deny me, and you will hand me over." The disciples protest, "Not I," they say. But we know the end of the story, and we know they do. How could they? So what happened? How did the crowds and the disciples turn on Jesus in this moment of need after such a long journey with him? Turning to the Gospel of John, he says, "Those gathered around Jesus did not confess him because they feared, for they loved human glory more than the glory that comes from God. The Jews feared being put out of the synagogue. The Roman officials feared Jesus' power with the people. And the disciples feared their own persecution and that Jesus was leading them in the wrong direction. The gospel says they feared. How could they?" I wonder if they had known the end of the story as they sat eating together that Last Supper. Would they have done anything differently? I wonder if they had known, would they have lingered longer over the wine? If they had known, would they have listened more deeply to what Jesus was saying to them? I wonder if they had known, would they have been able to stay up all night with Jesus? If they had known. And if they had known, would they have been so fearful? If they had known, would they have trusted and let go of the petty arguments that distracted and divided them? If the crowds had not been so fearful, would they have resisted the narrative the Romans were forcing on them about Jesus? Would they have perhaps had the courage to save Jesus rather than condemn him? If they had known and not been so fearful. The truth here is they did know. They had been told over and over again. They had been told the hour was coming for the Son of Man to be glorified. They did know. They just didn't believe. And thus they were consumed by fear. The truth is, we all know every meal we have with those we love could be our last. We all know we are told during the season of Lent that we are mortal, that we came from the earth, and to the earth we will return. If this year has taught us anything of any moral consequence, it is to act like we know it. We are mortal. This time is fleeting. Our time with each other is limited, so every second, every breath matters. We are called to know it, to believe it, and to act like it is true. At the Last Supper, Jesus makes the most of that moment. He feeds his disciples, he washes their feet, and he reminds them, love is our greatest commandment, love. We are mortal, time is fleeting. Every meal with those we love could be our last. And so Jesus says, love. In the face of such truth, Jesus says simply, by this they will know you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This past year has felt like an eternity. So much about it has been hard, and so many of us have lost so much. And yet, Easter is coming. Everything that Jesus teaches his disciples on this night at the Last Supper is everything they need to know to go out and do the work of building the kingdom of God. This pandemic time for us has done the same. We have seen what is essential to love one another. We know love is our greatest commandment to be Easter people. And now we are called to believe it and to live it. So how could they? The crowds and the disciples turned on Jesus because they were fearful. But when you believe love is your only commandment, when you believe that you are loved by God and your community, what is there to fear? In a minute, we will strip the altar and the church of every object. All the books, all the vestments, all the brass, the chalice, the paten, the banners, the frontals. We will remove them all. We do this as a symbolic act of Jesus being stripped and mocked as he was hung on the cross to die. But it is also for us an act of resistance. Because do you know what the soldiers could not take from Jesus, even as they nailed him to the cross? They could not take his love. And do you know what can never be removed from this sacred space? The love that lives here can never be removed. In this space is 115 years of loving energy. 115 years of marriage vows made, babies baptized, new Christians confirmed, family members laid to rest, thousands of people fed by the saving body and blood of Christ through communion, comfort, and welcome and care of those in need. 115 years of intentionally loving action. Even if all the books and banners never returned to this church, we would still have all we need to walk the way of Jesus, to walk the way of love, because no one can take away our love. So what exactly happened? Those crowds and his disciples did not yet know and became fearful, and they turned away from the love of Jesus. How could they? Because they didn't know, they didn't yet believe. But we, 2,000 years later, we do know. In this sacred space and in this sacred community, we have all we need to live like Easter people because we have chosen love over fear. And with Easter on the horizon, we are called to live like we know, to live like we believe it is true. How can we? Because we too have been told. They will know you are my disciples because you have love for one another. Amen.